Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this life-changing message.
Holy Spirit, I thank you for today. And Lord, I pray that you will fill my mouth. I pray that you people will hear from you. And I pray for every heart to be open to receive the word that you lay on my heart. All of this I pray in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Amen. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Is that right? Today I'm going to preach like you are my friend, like an intimate friend. I'm going to preach today like I'm preaching to myself and I'm sitting in the front row. Okay, so if things get a little bit, you know, don't take it too personally. It's a message that it was very significant to me because I really felt like God was dealing with a lot of things with me while I was preparing this. So it's something that is very important to me to share. The title of the message is Advance. Joshua 3:4 says, "Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before." As you all know, Joshua spent about 5 years fighting 31 kings, which he all defeated. And when he entered into the promised land, he needed to trust and fight. So it wasn't everything easy. He needed to act. He needed to do something. Joshua was an incredible leader, and he was a courageous warrior. And one of the things that made him such a conqueror was his faith in God and the ability to wait and hear God's voice. I believe this scripture to be relevant today, as we need direction while we're moving forwards into the future. But like many other men, Joshua needed to experience what moving without God's green lights led. And this place is called failure. The only battle that Joshua lost was because he didn't inquire from God, and he thought he could do it by himself. Today, things are not so different as people struggle to wait and pray. We are moving, doing things when God is not in it. I'm not talking just about unbelievers. I'm talking about leaders. I'm talking about elders. I'm talking about people that have been walking with God for a long period of time. And there was a quote that he was saying, "There's nothing more scarier than a leader that doesn't pray." And if you look around, it looks like it become the blind leading the blind, like Jesus mentioned in Matthew 15:14. Praise God, not in this church.
Amen.
We're really thankful to our pastors, because it's one thing that we know is that our pastors are a woman and a man of prayer.
Amen.
And I know, after many, many years of knowing them, that they take the time to seek in God and to just stay in God's presence in order for them to lead this church. And I'm grateful for that, and we should not give it for granted, because we are blessed. This generation desperately needs leaders that walk with God, and you are the leader. Today, enemy complacency is that we approach God in a way that is almost kind of like he owns us something. You know, the more we walk with God, the more we see God moving, and the more we feel like excused to kind of not do what God actually tells us to do. It's almost kind of like we need to tick a box to walk into his presence. All right, I just spent 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Sometimes it's all what we have, and God appreciates that. But some of the time, we just do it more to do him a favor. God will not stop us from going sideways or doing our own thing. And instead, he's waiting for us to go back to him. But what we need to know today is that only God can lead us to overcome our challenges. Only God can empower us to defeat the enemy. Only God can take us out of the spiritual prison some of us are in. And only God can make a way through the enemy fire. Only God can deliver us from our struggle. We need faith and we need confidence in God.
Amen.
So today, I'm really expectant. I really trust God to do something. I really do.
Amen.
Because I saw him doing so much things in my life, and I know that he's not done yet.
Amen.
So today I pray that whatever is a distraction, whatever is stopping you, whatever is hurting you, whatever is scaring you, whatever is limiting you, whatever is not allowing you to be who you are called to be or do what you're supposed to do, whatever is stopping you from hearing God's voice to coming down in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It's time to advance and it's time to enter in the fullness of God's promises. So it's time to get ready. Happy New Year.
Amen.
So 2022, I said it like in the beginning of the year, I was actually sharing a text with Pastor Tony, and I really truly believe is a year of growth, is a year of development, is a year where people will find the time to hear from God, is a year to advance, is the year of many victories. God is waiting for us to fill the empty space we have left on the front line. God is waiting for us to reposition ourselves physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and all he needs to do all these things with us is trust.
Amen.
So how are we going to do all these things? By knowing our God.
Amen.
It's just as simple as knowing our God. In Joshua 1:8 says, keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it, day and night, so that you might be careful and do everything written in it, that you will be prosperous and successful. In Daniel 11:32 says, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploit. Tim touched on that some time ago. So to know God means to know who he is, what pleases him, and what upsets him. Knowledge is very important and can lead to a life of success or death and unfulfillment. If we read Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are perish for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. And to me, this scripture is so powerful because you can't reject something that it was not available to you in the first place. So for us to reject the knowledge is actually for us to say, God, it's available, but I'm not interested with it. So I'm not interested to know who you are. I'm not interested to know your heart. I don't have time. Everyone can have different excuses. But the reality of the thing is that maybe we don't see that exploit that Daniel speaks about. We don't see that much success as Joshua says, because we don't know God as much as he wants us to know him. Does it make sense? At the moment, there is people try to understand God without knowledge. And when this happens, they build themselves a God made of man's standard and ideologies. It is no longer about following God. It's about telling God what he should think and do. People became their own God, living by the rules and morals that fit their lifestyle and justify their sins. They have been blinded by the darkness of this world, and they need the light. They need Christians. They know the word of God. They are not afraid to just go forward and speak the truth. Even within the church, some Christians started to tell God what to do, when to do it, how things should be done. They stop believing in God, they start believing in themselves, compromising with things that actually they're an abomination to Him. And they felt so uncomfortable with it that they actually start changing the word of God. They start removing verses from the Bible. That's the time that we are living in. So it's a crucial time to know God and His words. We desperately need the Holy Spirit to help us and lead us. While I was reflecting on this word, then God clearly said to me, I can only talk to you as deep as you know and understand my word. At first, I could not fully get it. So I kind of like, what do you mean? And the illustration that he gave me, it was like, I have two daughters. One is 4 and the other one is 1. I can speak to my eldest, explaining things in a way that my youngest will not understand because she's not mature enough. And also, when they will grow up, I will be able to explain things to them because they will be mature enough, their knowledge, understanding will be different. So what God needs us is to grow, mature, so that He can share with us things that we will not understand if we will be still little. Does it make sense? So if I say to my eldest, you know, that is going to take you to a place that you don't know, but it's going to be a nice place, her reaction will be, okay, I'll come with you, daddy. The little one, maybe not so. She will be more like, maybe 5 minutes, nothing is happening. Then she will start doing other things. So knowledge is important, but without understanding is nothing. Yeah. You can have knowledge, but you can't understand a thing. And knowledge and understanding without wisdom is useless. It's absolutely useless. And I'm gonna touch on that in a second. But the problem is that many Christians know a lot, understand little, and don't do much. And that's why they stop or not functioning as they should. Instead of impacting their territories, they've been impacted because they don't know or understand what to do. So, it's like, you know, when you're driving your car and then all of a sudden you have the fuel lights coming in. Knowledge shows you need petrol or gas. Understanding is helping you to realize that the car will stop and you will be stuck somewhere if you don't fill that tank. Yeah, yeah. Wisdom is the action to actually stop and fill the car. Mm-hmm. All right? So, without wisdom, which is taking action, there will be consequences no matter what you know or what you understand. The car will stop. So, no matter what you think, make sure your spiritual tank is full, okay? We need God to walk with us. But for us to successfully walk with God, we gotta do 2 things. The first one is prayer, and the first one is reading. Now, I have an illustration for you. Right, so one leg is my prayer life. My other leg is my reading life. For a very long period of time in my life, I was doing one of the two. So if I started doing one of the two, and I tried to walk with God, I tried the other one, see? So that's why I end up for a very long time trying to walk with God, and I was still going in circle because I could not understand the importance of doing these two things combined in order for me to walk. I just got stuck doing the whole same things for time and time again. But if you think that is bad, there's something worse. Because some people will perish or lose their rewards because they try to walk with God, okay? And they're walking with God, and all of a sudden, they fall. So they go backwards. And then we repent, we ask for forgiveness, and Jesus say, okay, I forgive you. So we go back again. Now we start walking. See, that's the promise. That's the promise. That's where I'm supposed to go in order to be functioning. Then I walk again. Oh, another fall, another sin, the same addiction, the same thing that has been kept me in prison, like with a chain. Oh, back again. And time goes on. Life carry on. And we can spend all our lives keep going forwards and then falling behind. And we move to this place where there's grace. Then we fall, repentance, forgiveness, and then we go back to the A point. But we never enter, we never reach the destination, the promises, the place where God wants us to be. And that's actually our starting point. That's our starting point. It's not our arrival point. Jesus says, I am the door. So the question is, what is behind the door? Yeah. And some people will never find out. Because the door is there and I keep. So we need to walk.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
Some other people will pretend everything is okay. And what they will do is, like the walk with God is more like walking on a treadmill. So they kind of like look like in action, but they're stuck on the same place. They don't move. They just kind of like, you know, sport. But they're not going anywhere. They're on the same spot. There's some Christian that have been in the same spot for years. They never advanced, they never developed, they never grew. They are just that. But there's another group of people. That's actually what I call it the Michael Jackson move, okay? So what they do is like, I haven't practiced, okay? So be kind. They do like that thing, like, you know, that it looks like he's moving forward, and then actually he's moving backwards.
There you go.
Yeah, come on. So they go like that. Yeah, I'm going. I'm fine, I'm good. Yeah, I've been to church all week. Yeah, cool. I participate to the prayer and fasting, yeah. And then for this group of people, is that they're sliding back to the door, though. Yeah. And that's the risk that many of us can actually experience if we don't intentionally move and start understanding that Jesus paid it all so that we can live that life of fullness and abundance in Him. You know, if you think about the young ruler in Mark 10:17. He run, yeah? He run. He knelt down. Like, Jesus, I done all these things. And Jesus said, okay, there's one thing then that you need to do in order for you to follow me, and is to give up the one thing. So this guy ticked many boxes. There was a lot of things that he was doing, but because he didn't want to give up the only one thing, then he rejected it, the fullness of Jesus. The value of something is determined by what people is willing to pay for it. And this young man was not willing to pay it. But Jesus paid it all for us.
Amen.
The Bible in many homes has become like one of those cooking books that no one reads, and they became part of that deco. The question is, what do you see when you look at Jesus? There was a brother that posted something the other week and said something like, Judas saw the worth of the oil. Mary saw the worth of Jesus. Some people think what Jesus can do for me, but a servant think, what can I do for Jesus? What a privilege is to be called to build the church. We have the privilege to be fishermen for Jesus. We are called to work as the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. We are called to actively work and be partners with Jesus. But it will require sacrifice and efforts. I never saw a builder not getting dirty. I never saw a fisherman that didn't want to get wet. I never heard of someone working in the field without sweating. There are things that we need to do, and if we don't do it, then we always find excuses, because that's how it works, isn't it? We will always face storms, and we don't know for how long they can last. But I once heard, there is not such a thing as a bad weather, just bad clothing. And as I heard this, then I was like, oh, that's so good. It sounds so British, isn't it? must have been my wife, I think. I don't know. Then I thought, whoa, that's good. Then I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say, how about there's not bad season, but bad attitudes?
Yeah.
And that completely changed my perspective. Because like when we are walking with God, we know that He will finish what He started.
Amen.
God is good. God loves you. God is powerful. God is for you all the time. And is faithful. God wants to speak to us all the time, but our emotion can be louder than His voice. Now, you can tell that I'm a daddy in a second. Have you ever tried to speak to a child while he's having a meltdown? And as a consequence of a fall or a disappointment, because they have not listened, they just start screaming and they become very emotional. They're not taking anything. It's just their emotion is overwhelming. They can't listen, they can't do anything. They almost freeze. That's where some people are today. They blame God for everything. They take no responsibility for their bad choices. God tried to warn them, but they've gone ahead or their lives and their plans, and now they're in the wrong place with their lives. So, if anyone is in this place, then all you have to do is stop blaming God, repent, and go back into His arm.
Amen.
And start again.
Amen.
So, God wants us to walk with Him, because only when we are with Him, we can advance. God has planned with direction and instruction for our lives that we need to follow, because He's a God of detail. Okay. How do I put it down? Would you agree that it would be a little bit weird if a guy started a long journey to a place to which he has never been before, and after ignoring all the direction and being in the wrong place, and then started to scream at the sad nav, blaming it for all the petrol money he had wasted, all the traffic he went through, of course now he's in the middle of nowhere without phone reception, and a major problem to the car, there's some smoke coming out of the car. He doesn't know what it is, but it must be looking bad because the car is not moving. And then as the drama is not enough, he didn't renew his RIC because, of course, these things never happened to me. It's always to other people. It might sound funny, but it's exactly where some people is. They waste energy in putting so much effort and got tired living a life they were not meant to live and end up facing challenges only to end up lost without guidance, with nothing functioning, and without anyone to help. I was once this guy. I was this guy. But then Jesus found me.
Amen.
He loved me. He restored me. I mean, he put me back on track. If you think about it, nobody planned for their failure. Nobody planned to get hurt. Nobody planned to lose everything. Nobody planned to get unwell. No one planned to move away from God and lose their salvation. I guess nobody planned to go to hell, but can happen. You know, if you're in this place again, is a time where you can go back to Jesus and start a new journey. It's a time for new beginning. And again, it's a time to advance. We can't do this without God, though. If we really want to serve God and have an eternal impact, we need to be connected to Him. And in order for Him to be close to us, in order for Him to speak to us, then we need to be connected to Him. And we need to start seeing things differently. We need to get rid of those things that are holding us back. In Jeremiah 33:3, it says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty thing which you don't know, you couldn't understand." You know, you might have a mobile phone and or a laptop or a tablet, and you need to be connected to a Wi-Fi, which automatically connects to a browser, in order for your apps to actually work. Like today, most of the apps works and rely on an internet connection. If they are not connected, they are not working, and actually probably only the 20% of your phone will actually work. Things are not much different with God. He wants us to take us to new places, to new territories. He wants to show us more of Himself so that we can be a testimony to others of how powerful He is.
Amen.
But we need to be connected to Him, because otherwise He can't show us all these things. In order for us to go where He wants us to go, and I don't know if you, the bank, you guys won't come out, I remember this time. there is places where God cannot take us if we are not leaving our baggage and stuff behind. And the best way I can describe it is like when you go to the airport, when you have something very heavy, they say, "I'm sorry, this one cannot come on the airplane. You gotta leave it." If it's not enough, that's the visible. That's what is very visible, like the massive bag, which is heavy. But then if it's not enough, then you go through a process where everything is x-rayed. There is a list of items that are forbidden. And when they find it, it's your choice to leave it so that you can move and take off, or you just go back and you're not going anywhere. Like there's some places like Australia that actually they have a very big list of items that cannot enter into the territory because are considered dangerous for the country. They are not safe. So they have people that they actually check every single baggage for checking for seeds, that there's a certain type of food that you can take, okay, you cannot take. And it's because they need to protect their land. And that's why Israel didn't enter the promised land. It's only a bunch of few people that follow that laws, those bring it or bring it, into the land. The other one could not go in that place. You know, we need to follow God's instruction no matter how long we have been journeying with God. God is calling us to leave our burdens and to join the front line. Amen. The question is, are you answering His call? The only requirement is having faith in God. That's all you need. That's the starting point. Faith is so important that Jesus didn't care about Peter going to deny Him. But for Jesus, it was more important, His faith. It was more important that Peter kept his faith after messing up. This is what's so significant, that Jesus was actually interceding for him specifically about that. So what Jesus, in that moment, what Jesus, I'm just paraphrasing, is, I know, Peter, that you will deny me. I know that you will speak like you never knew me. But it's okay, because all I need, all I want you to have, is that faith to know that if you repent, if you know that you have done wrong, you will come back to me. Amen. The scripture says, and the Lord says, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he might sift you like as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Yes. So what he's saying is like, I know you're gonna mess up, but you need to have faith in order for you to understand that there is forgiveness, and you need to understand that your purpose is so important that you cannot fail, because you need to go and strengthen those around you to advance the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is a progression kingdom. It doesn't stop. It just moves forwards. So it doesn't matter how far you feel, don't lose your faith in God. Doesn't matter how much things have been hard and how many mistakes you have made, don't lose your faith in God. Amen. It's time to get ready. It's time to advance.
Amen.
Now, I finished, but that's I just want to speak specifically to someone that has been debating about following Jesus or not following Jesus, giving his life or not. And all I want to say is that when at first you get to meet Jesus, there's nothing that you really want to do for him. But then when you know him, when you feel the love that he has for you, well, I promise you, is that there is nothing that you would not do for him. And this is what he has done in my life. So today, you are one decision away from starting this journey. And it might be a bumpy road, but at the end, it's going to be all worth it. It doesn't matter where you live, it will multiply. You will have more. And you will never be alone again. He's the only one that gives us back more than we invested in the first place. So today, there's three groups of people. There's the people who want to start a journey with Jesus and advance in their lives. There's people that have been walking with Jesus and are stuck or they are lost at the minute. There's people that need to have that refill of faith in order to advance. And there are those who are strong, they are advancing, but they need more strength and encouragement. So I don't want to embarrass anybody, but let's pray all together. Let's pray all together. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you because you are a faithful God. Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for the word that you place in my heart. Lord, I thank you for you, mighty God. Because only you could do this miracle today. Lord, I pray, oh God, that you will restore those who need to be restored. Lord, I pray that you will give the strength that is needed for us to move as a church. Lord, give us the desire for your word. Lord, help us to acknowledge our mistakes. Lord, give us that heart of flesh. Holy Spirit, I just pray that right now, in your presence, Almighty God, you might do what only you can do, God, that you might bring that peace, that love, that comfort that comes only from your presence, God. Lord, there's nobody like you. Help us to be that church, oh God, that you desire, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
So, Lord, we might go home today, and many things will happen in the coming days, in the next weeks, months. Lord, I pray that we will always know that your desire is for us to know you. And Lord, I thank you that you so want to be close to us that you decided somehow to just come and live in us. So Lord, I just give you all the praise and all the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.